Another fabulous Sunday morning. Hallelujah. The study in the living word is the title of our series, and this is number two. The title of today's message is The Word Became Flesh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the treasure of your word, and we thank you for the treasure of the moment. We thank you, Father, that you are busy revealing your heart to your people. And it is our job to take your heart, the revealed heart, to a hurting world. And Father, we thank you that you're preparing your church to do just that. Lord, we open our minds and hearts today to receive your word. We set our love upon you, Father, and we fully believe that you will impart your heart to us today as we study your living word. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we started our new series. As I mentioned, the title of our series is A Study in the Living Word, and this is part two. The Word Became Flesh is the title of our message today. Last week we studied John 1, 1 through 3, along with some related scriptures. So we're going to start there, John 1, 1 through 3, and read that. That's one of our foundation scriptures for this series. And we'll start from these. We've got three foundation scriptures today for this message. We'll start in John 1. And this is the Amplified Classic, John 1, 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. We studied those three verses in detail last week, and one thing we mentioned is just a quick point or two before we proceed, because they're connected with our study today. The beginning that we're talking about in John 1:1 is the beginning before there was anything.
Right.
That nothing existed, not in eternity and not in time. Time was not in existence. And there we find Jesus. We find, well, he wasn't named Jesus yet, but he was the Word, the living Word. He's always been the living Word and always will be the living Word. And it says there in those scriptures, the Word Christ was with God, and it was God himself. So we find that God and his Word are one. That's the beginning we talked about last week. The second scripture that we have for a foundation scripture for this series is Hebrews 4:12. We will go into that in detail later on in our series, but today we're just going to refer to the first few words of Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is God. God and His Word are one. We're going to study that in more detail further in our series. Our third foundation scripture for today is John 1:14. The very first few words there, Amplified Classic, and the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate. So in those three sections of scripture, we find that the Word existed before all time. We find that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We find in those scriptures that all things were created by him, and without him was not anything created. That is in heaven and in earth. He is the source of all creation. And then we find in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word is alive. It's alive because it's God. Amen. It's God himself. The living Word is God. And then in John 1:14, we found that the Word Christ became flesh. Now, it takes a while to even get a hint of what's being said here. But John is bringing out powerful revelations in John chapter 1. I mean, we need to spend a lot of time in John chapter 1. Well, last week I mentioned we can't wrap our mind around eternity, because eternity is an absence of time altogether. Has no beginning, has no end. God himself is eternity. The other thing I mentioned last week that we have a hard time wrapping our mind around is the absence of anything, the presence of nothing, because nothing is not a presence. There's nothing at all, nothing. We can't wrap our mind around that. And here's another verse in John 1:14. It's hard to wrap our mind around. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Word, Christ, or God Himself, the Creator. And here, He becomes part of His own creation. Uh-huh. That is hard for us to wrap our mind around. We know that Jesus had to leave every part of His Godhead in eternity. He couldn't bring it in with Himself. He had to come in as a man. So He had to become, in order to be one with man, because of the separation between God and Adam, man was separated. There was no way to connect. So God Himself, by Jesus, became flesh so that He could walk with us, so that He could reveal His heart, so that He could prepare a way back for man. He had to become a man in order for that to happen, because a man had to die. So here we find the Word itself became flesh. Well, Mary had a statement. She said, well, how can this be?
Yeah.
She wasn't doubting it. She didn't doubt it. She just asked a question. How can this be? Well, we find ourselves asking the same question. How can the Creator Himself, Creator, become flesh? Become part of His own creation and still be God? How can He be who He is and still become a man? It just doesn't connect with our thinking. And it's sad to say many of us don't even think about it. We just read it and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we go on. We never even stop to try to analyze that a little bit or try to come into a revelation of what's being said. It's powerful. It is, man, it's leg-shaking territory. God Himself, in the form of the Word, became flesh. Take some time to meditate on that and think about it. Well, you say, well, how can that be? Well, let's look at what the explanation was to Mary, because it gives us a hint of what took place. In Luke chapter 1, I don't have time to go through the whole thing, I'd like to, but in Luke chapter 1, we find the angel Gabriel has come with a message for Mary. Now, what she was doing during this time is hard to say. It doesn't tell us what she was doing at that moment, but she was a lady of prayer. We find that by the response she had to Elizabeth when she goes to visit Elizabeth. She breaks into Scripture. She declares Scripture right when she meets with Elizabeth. So we know she was a lady of the Word. She knew the Word. The angel has arrived. He's telling Mary everything that's going to happen to her. Then here we find, starting in Luke 1:34, then Mary said to the angel. Now she's heard all that's going to happen to her. And she's got a question. She says, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now when you think about that statement, she wasn't doubting what the angel said. She asked a legitimate question. A question that needed to be answered. Because, why? Because from the very beginning, how did man come into the earth? Man, species, had to be born into this world. And there had to be a man and a woman in order for that to happen. There was no other way to get a man into this world or into time. It was impossible. So she asked this angel a question here and said, how can this be since I do not know a man? Mary was a virgin. She had never had an experience with a man. Now I get the image, and again, it doesn't say what she was doing. But in my own opinion, she may have been in her daily devotionals. She was a lady of prayer, a lady of the Word, a lady that studied and knew God because she was highly favored of God. And in order to do that, to become someone highly favored of God, she had to have a relationship with him, had to be in communion with him. So I believe that she was probably in a time when she was by herself, nobody else around. She was in a quiet time, her and the Lord. Now, what form that takes, we don't know. But I believe that's what was going on at this time, and we don't know how long she was there. We know that women, that there were a lot of women that were women of prayer at that time. We find that when Jesus was brought to the temple, Simeon and Anna. Anna was a lady of prayer. She never left. She was with she was married for a few years, and then from that point forward, she was in that temple praying and seeking God. I see Mary as that kind of a woman, someone who was deep and intense with her relationship with God. So here she asked this legitimate question, how can this be since I do not know a man? Then in verse 35, we find what the angel said. The angel answered and said to her. Now what happened when Zechariah answered that question before Elizabeth had her child, or John the Baptist was born? He was in the temple. He was in a time of quiet with God. He was there alone in the temple doing his service as a priest. He asked basically the same question, but he didn't ask it in the form of faith. He asked it in the form of doubting. Hey, we're both real old. That can't happen. What happened to Zechariah? He said, the angel told him, you will not speak again until this baby is born. He's, in all essence, for a better way of putting it, that angel zipped Zechariah's lips to where he couldn't say anymore because he didn't want Zechariah to interfere with what God's plan was. God, his words would have been against what was going on. So we find that Zechariah's lips were zipped. This zipped him up. He could no longer speak until that baby was born. Why? He asked basically the same question, but he asked it with doubting. He was doubting this whole thing. Mary didn't do that. Mary asked that question in faith, wanting to know how it was going to happen. How can this be, since it's never happened at any time ever in creation before? No one has ever had a baby without a man, and a man without a woman. It just doesn't happen in some form or another. So wrap your mind around that when she said, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. So, yes, Mother?
I think the difference in Mary's question and Zechariah's question was he had what he needed to have a baby, and it hadn't happened.
That's a good point, too.
She didn't have anything to tell her that she could have a baby.
That's a good point, too.
So God had to explain that
to
her.
That's why Zechariah doubted.
Yeah.
He said, this can't happen.
He knew it had already passed by. And
he knew that wasn't going to happen. He knew where he was
Mary
and knew
was
where
young.
She
was. She was ready to hear something different.
Mary was young, and she didn't know anything about Zacharias or Elizabeth. She didn't know any of that. The angel tells her later on in this communion. But I believe she was in a time of prayer and quiet with God.
Maybe.
A time of intercession, a time of her personal relationship. It doesn't tell us that. But it was her relationship was strong enough for that angel to show up.
Yeah.
And she found favor in God's eyes, and here comes that angel, and he answers her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Who's the Father then of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But we find that throughout Scripture. As I mentioned last week, wherever you find God working, you find the Holy Spirit and Jesus working in the Word.
The Holy Spirit brings the life.
Yes. It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit functioning together wherever you find any of them doing anything. The three are working together. We find that here. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are working together to bring forth Jesus into this period of time. He had to leave eternity and become part of time. He had to become subject to time.
Bound by time.
He could not bring in anything of the Godhead into here except himself. He couldn't bring in the attributes of the Godhead. He walked as a man while he was here. Fully God yet, but fully man. But he had to be born in order to get in time. That's the only way inside of time. You have to be born here. And glory to God. And that's something that we have to take time to meditate on. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, and then he tells about Elizabeth. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. So the existence is between you, Mary, and God. Now in 36, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, this is where it happened. Up to this point, Jesus is not conceived yet. It's not been conceived. But notice the word was involved in bringing it back about. The angel had to come and speak what God said to say. He had to speak it. And now Mary has her part to do. If Mary had not done this,
right,
the word would have never become flesh. So what does she say? Based on everything that the angel said, she didn't say, that cannot possibly be. She didn't say that. What did she say? She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
Amen.
And the angel departed. Why? Because Jesus was conceived.
He was there. He was done.
The word was brought and presented and declared. Mary accepted the word. She accepted it. She said, I am the maidservant of the Lord. She yielded to the word that was spoken. There is a lot in that right there. That's powerful. That's powerful. And as we don't just take this at Christmas time.
Right.
This is something for all time.
Yes.
Every day. We need to have a revelation of this right here. And the Word became flesh. Now that means that Word has to walk within the boundaries of time. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Now let's go back to John 1:14 and read that whole thing. We're going to use the Amplified Classic because of all that it brings out. John 1:14, Amplified Classic, through 16. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. We actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. John testified about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has priority over me, for he was before me. He takes rank above me, for he existed before I did. He has advanced before me, because he is my chief. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace upon another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift upon gift. Glory to God. I like that last part there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. Verse 16 of John 1. Now we just read, and the Word became flesh. And verse 16, for out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift.
Amen.
That's our Jesus. That's what happened when He became flesh.
Amen.
When He became flesh, Mary yielded to the Word of God, and the Word became flesh. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Mother, I don't have that scripture in my notes, but did you find that one earlier in John?
Yeah, 14 verse 9.
Oh, read it if you would. John 14 verse 9.
I
thought of it on the way over. It wasn't part of my notes.
Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
So when we see Jesus, we see the Father. What was that verse again for reference?
Verse 9 in chapter 14 of John.
John 14, verse 9.
Yeah.
So here we see Jesus Himself saying, hey, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because as in John 1, 1 through 3 says, the Word and God are one.
Mm-hmm.
They are one. When you see the Word, you see Jesus. When you see Jesus, you see the Word. When you see the Word, you see the Father. When you see the Father, you see the Holy Spirit. They are one. They function always, all the time. Never separate. Always one. When the Word became flesh, they functioned as one. But man had to have a part. Man had to say, in the form of Mary, she had to say yes. She had to say, be it unto me according to your will. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. She took that place of being subject to the Father. Oh, that's so exciting when you read that. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. When we see Jesus, we need to remember that. This is the Father revealed through the Word. Hebrews 1, 3, Amplified Classic. He is, Jesus is, the sole or the only expression. The sole expression of the glory of God. The light being. The outraying or radiance of the divine. And He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power.
And which scripture are you reading?
That's Hebrews 1:3. It's Amplified Classic.
Okay.
That's what the difference is. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. Think of that. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. Boy, we need to take time with this. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. And He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power, when He had by offering Himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. There's so many other scriptures that we can use, and we're going to use Colossians 1 again from last week. But He's the sole image.
The one and only.
The one and only image. And when we see Him, when we look at how Jesus lived and walked, when we look at what He said, because He said, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father shows me to do. Man, when we see that, and we, most of the time, if it wasn't for something that we could see and identify with, sometimes we treat it like Hansel and Gretel, or some mythology. God is not mythology.
Amen.
He reveals himself in nature itself. Everything reveals God. Everything reveals God. And God himself came to reveal himself. And then after Jesus rose, he sent himself again in the form of the Holy Spirit to abide with us to reveal himself. God is in the business of revealing himself to his children. That is so awesome. So awesome.
And just to think that his kingdom, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, righteousness, dwells within us.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
In that kingdom.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. And that's what Mary was doing when she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, even according to your word." She was yielding to the fullness of God. She was yielding to everything the Father had to say. And the only evidence she had was that angel's words. And a question, how can this be, since I know not a man? She had to go beyond her natural understanding of things. She had to go beyond everything that she'd ever known to receive that. What a woman. Thank God. That's why I'm so convinced she was in a time of prayer with God when that happened.
Prepared by God the Father.
Yes. Oh, that's so awesome. I think we need to spend a lot more time on that in our meditation. Then we have Colossians 1:15. Again, we're still talking about the Word became flesh. Colossians 1:15, Amplified Classic. We read this last week, but we're going to go back a verse further. Now. When's now? I think now's right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was at that moment. Colossians 1:15, Amplified Classic. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Does that not basically say the same thing we just read in Hebrews 1:3? He is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation, for it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, and by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, and are held together. Glory to God. He also is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone, in everything and in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. For it pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers and attributes should dwell in him permanently. And God purposed that through, by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father, made peace by means of the blood of his cross. Now the material needed for the cross was the birth of Jesus through Mary's obedience to the Word. The cross could have never happened without Mary's submission. Without the Word becoming flesh, the cross could have never happened. Mm-hmm. And if the cross would have never happened, we could never be saved.
That's right.
Everyone that ever exists or ever has or ever is or ever will exist would be in hell for eternity. There would be no other way.
Right.
So that's the power that is in those few moments in time where the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced it. And Mary said yes. Without that act, Jesus could not have come.
Amen.
And without a sin-free man, there could have been no cross. With no cross, we would pay our own bill.
Right.
We would pay for that separation from God.
And we couldn't.
We couldn't pay for it.
Because we were under the law.
We're under the law. There's no way out.
Part of Adam.
But all of that, all of those covenants, pre-cross, all of those were footsteps to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
All of that blood that was shed was a type and kind of Jesus. All of it was mercy. It wasn't law and regulation. It was mercy. It was the best God could do at the time because Jesus had to come. There had to be a sacrifice, and there wasn't one. So God prepared his own son as a sacrifice. Had Abraham not been willing to sacrifice Isaac, the cross could have never happened.
Right.
Those covenants that God made with all of those patriarchs before, all the way from Adam on, they had to happen. They were footsteps. They were ingredients. They were things that had to take place before Jesus could be born. That's still happening now.
Amen.
It didn't stop with the cross and with Jesus' resurrection. It's still ongoing. We are part of that. We are part of the footsteps. We are part of the process for the coming of the King again. Just like the way had to be prepared for Jesus to come pre-cross, it has to be prepared for him to come post-cross.
Amen.
We're preparing his way by our intercession, by what we do with God's word, by how we live the word and how we pray and intercede and how we set our love upon him. The spot and wrinkle on the church that God's waiting to clean up before he can come is our disunity,
mm-hmm.
our lack of the love walk. When we walk in love, we're ushering in the King. Another footstep for the coming of the King. That's what this is all about. When we look at Jesus, we see the perfection of God. What we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He walked as a man, being the very image and imprint of God. That's where God's taken us. That's what we're going to look like. We're supposed to look like that now. In this earth, we're supposed to be, that's supposed to be our goal, is that we can be Jesus to the world. We can be his representative. We can be the channel for the Holy Spirit to move into the world and to reveal the heart of God.
Galatians, the fifth chapter.
Yes.
Really, really reveals.
It does. Mm-hmm. And this is the same author. Oh man, the knowledge that Paul had that he never got to bring. And we're going to get to visit some time, spend some time with him. But glory to God. We need to spend some time in this and have the living word revealed to us. And God's not holding it back. We just have to position ourselves so that he can reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
So he can reveal his heart. And he can't reveal his heart to me until I do what Mary did. I have to position myself and behold the servant of the Lord, your son and your servant who serves.
And then we can walk with that faith that worketh by love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because of the shed blood of Jesus.
Because of the shed blood of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. Even after being born again, we still can't do it on our own. It's by His Spirit that He placed in us. And even then, we still can't do it because we need each other to do it. We got to be the body of Christ. We can't reveal Him in the way He needs to be revealed without each other. And if we're not walking in love, we can't reveal Him. So, it's so important. Glory be to God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Amplified Classic again. For in Him, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Think of that. Glory to God. For in Him, I'm going to read something. I'm going to just give me a minute. I got to flip over Colossians 2:9. Just give me a second here. I want to add to that. I should have put it in my notes, and I didn't. I started to, but they were getting kind of long. Colossians 2:9. Now, Colossians 2:9. For in Him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature, verse 10. And you are in Him, made full, and having come to the fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That, another thing you got to wrap your mind around. That's what it says when it says in the other versions, it says, and you are complete. What does complete mean?
Like Him.
Like Him. For you're in Him, you are made complete.
Mm-hmm.
And here the Amplified expresses what that complete is. And having come to fullness of life in Christ, so that's in Him, you too, who's that? That's Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's born again, and too means what?
Also.
You too are filled, and if something's filled, there's no room for anything else.
Right.
And you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
This says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, how do you get that? How do you get the knowledge of His will in all spiritual understanding? You get it by the Godhead dwelling in you.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is in us, revealing Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's His job. And where the Holy Spirit is, there's God the Father and God the Son. Where God the Father is, there's God the Son and God the Holy Spirit.
That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto
all pleasing.
Being fruitful in every good work.
Amen.
And increasing in the knowledge of God.
Hallelujah.
How do we do that? By the indwelling Spirit. We do it because the Word became flesh.
Amen.
And I love that next verse. Listen to this. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joy.
Joy. Yes, amen.
Giving thanks unto the Father.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, we can't stop in Colossians. You just can't stop. I mean, you know, there's no place to stop. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, He made alive.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. He placed His own life in us. I mean, man, the Word became flesh.
Can you imagine? Let me just say this. Can you imagine the people that were under the law living religiously?
Uh-huh.
Doing the best they could.
Yeah. And then here comes this event where all of a sudden their level of relationship with God is still bondage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And God is making a way.
Oh, glory.
Break them out of that.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Total freedom.
And they've had thousands of years of this.
Yes. Can you imagine?
Embedded in everything. And now here comes this one guy.
Yeah.
And he's fulfilling all of that, but they can't wrap their head around it.
Yeah.
They think he's demonic. They think he's going against. And he's not. He's fulfilling.
Yeah. Right.
And he had to be alone on the cross in order for this to work. Praise God. I just can't get done with that. Then in John 12:44, Amplified Classic.
John?
Yeah, John 12:44. But Jesus loudly declared, the one who believes in me.
What chapter?
John 12, verse 44.
Okay, chapter 12.
Amplified Classic. But Jesus loudly declared, the one who believes in me does not only believe in and trust in and rely on me, but in believing in me, he believes in him who sent me.
Amen.
Verse 45, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me.
Amen.
Verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, so that whoever believes in me, whoever cleaves to, trusts in, and relies on me, may not continue to live in darkness. That's the reason he came. Well, I can see. It's not dark in here. You're in darkness. If you're not in the light, Jesus, you're in darkness. He came to reveal. We have been sent to reveal.
Amen.
Jesus said, even as thou hast sent me, I have sent them. So we got to go back and look at how God sent Jesus. What did he send him for? It's clearly revealed in Scripture, Luke 4:18-19, is his ministry, is his mission, his call to mission. That's also ours. We have the same call on our lives that he had. But in order to do the call, in order to be that God called us to be to the world, we have to be in him. And we have to allow the living Word to abide in us. We have to yield the way Mary did. Yield our lives to the Father. Yield our lives to the Word. Yield our hearts to him and allow him to be who he is.
Amen.
We have to set our love upon him. And if we are not committed to walking the love walk, we cannot do that.
Amen.
And without the abiding Word, the living Word in our hearts and lives, we can't walk the love walk.
That's right.
I have to, what Mary did there, she committed the rest of her entire life to this one Word. She committed not only herself, but all of her family and all of her future.
Mm-hmm.
She committed.
And all of us.
And all of us.
The whole world.
All in her words. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, even according to your word.
Simeon and Anna gave her a hint to that.
Yes. Yes. They were, at the point when Mary said that, they were already in the temple interceding. Simeon and Anna was there. Simeon. And I've always believed this. Simeon and Anna were the spiritual fathers of Jesus, the intercessors, the one that called in. That's all they did. They spent their lives in the temple interceding, calling for the king to come, and so much so that God told Simeon that, hey, you're not going to leave till you see the Son. And And at that
we need to understand that, because we think we're all alone doing what we want to do. Mary felt like she was all alone. She didn't.
She wasn't alone.
She ran right away over to Elizabeth because she knew she could never face Joseph.
Yeah.
Without some help.
Yeah.
And with Simeon and Anna, they're all alone.
They were there all alone.
It takes the community.
They were the spiritual part of what Mary did naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Had Simeon and Anna not done their part for those many years before this event ever happened with Mary, they had already interceded. That angel arrived because of their intercession and all of that had happened before.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the angel was able to come. Their intercession in Simeon and Anna prepared Mary.
Yes.
Even though they were not connected. That's what happens to us when we intercede and pray for others, especially pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
When we do that, we don't know who we're praying for. We don't know what we're praying.
Yeah.
But we're praying the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way they were praying God's will.
That's the wonderful thing about the Holy Ghost anointing.
Amen.
Oh, it is.
I'm telling you, it's just... could I just interject something?
Sure,
sure.
Go on, Eldon. Yeah.
I went broke in business. And ended up $124,000 in debt.
Woo!
40 years ago. And my lawyer said to me, said, Eldon, file bankruptcy as quick as you can. Because if you don't, they're going to eat you up. I went home, I shared with my wife what they had said and what we had done and everything. My wife was a godly lady. And she said, well, what do you think, Eldon? I said, I think we owe these people this money. And I believe the God that we serve and the God that we pay tithe to will be faithful to unto us to carry out this plan regardless of what we need to walk through to do it.
Amen.
We knelt beside the bed, and I'll never forget it. We were holding hands, kneeling beside the bed. And we took a deep breath, and both of us began to pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
And we must have prayed, I don't know, probably 10 minutes. And I tell you what, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just fell, and we were just at peace. And we just stopped, and I have never been in such a room of joyful quietness.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And we got up and went forth. Now, did we walk through some difficult times? Certainly. But we walked it by faith.
Yeah.
Knowing that God had interceded for us.
Yes.
And 21 and a half years later, we paid off the last portion of that.
Praise God. Praise God.
God.
Amen.
God is faithful.
Oh, yes, He is.
And
yes,
you know
He
what?
Is.
During that time, He took our lives, changed our lives, called us into full-time ministry, anointed us. We began to pastor the church and the Christian school, K-12, for 30 years, and the 24-year, four-year accredited Bible college, because of obedience is better than sight.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And I just give God the glory.
Yes, we give God the glory.
Praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's what Mary did.
Yep.
She didn't understand it, but she knew the rest of my life's going to be devoted to this child.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for allowing me to share that.
Oh, amen. Yes, yes, yes,
people
yes.
Need to know that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Eldon. Because that's encouragement for someone else. It's encouragement to someone that may be watching this in the future or right now. Well, they're going through something, maybe not money, maybe not a financial thing.
Maybe relationships.
Maybe relationships or whatever. But God is faithful.
Yes.
Never put a time limit on God. He will do it within the perfected time frame that is necessary. And just as all those building blocks went into the coming of Jesus, which every life that was led, David and all the others, all the way back, to position Mary where she could. And now, since she positioned herself, positioned us now, since the cross, all of that's linked together. As Eldon said, God is faithful. He will take you one step at a time through your journey, but it requires your faithfulness.
Amen.
It requires your time. It requires your heart. You do what you can do. You walk in love. You see to it that you take no account of a suffered wrong and you think the best of every person. And when you don't, repent of that and fix it. Set your heart and love upon God. Get yourself into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to prepare your steps.
And during this time, the Lord solidified in me, God has not given me the spirit of fear.
Amen. No.
But of power,
mm-hmm,
and love and a sound mind. And
amen.
That sound mind is the mind of Christ.
It's the mind of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And without that relationship, without our sitting or our love and walking a level, we can't have that. It's there in the presence of the Holy Spirit when we're born again, but we can't hear it because we're carnally minded. So the Word became flesh.
Amen.
And it will always be. You realize that same flesh that came upon Jesus in Mary's womb, he's still wearing it?
Yes. It's glorified.
It's glorified body, but he's still walking throughout eternity in that flesh.
Amen.
That came upon him because of the obedience of Mary.
We will see him.
Yes.
We're going to see him, praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. Thank you for your presence in our life. This has been so rich today, Lord. Continue to increase our understanding, granting us revelation and insight as we walk through the steps of our life, becoming who you called us to be. We thank you, Father. And I don't know about anybody else, but I can say for myself, behold the servant of the Lord, the Son who serves. Be it unto me according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.